Escuelas oficiales de idiomas de Andalucía. Inglés. Nivel intermedio. Comprensión oral. Tarea 1. Escuche la grabación. Elija la mejor opción. A, B o C. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
The Royal Exchange. Manchester's first cotton trading exchange opened in the Old Market Place in 1729 and moved here in 1809. This building was completed in 1921. Its prominent dome measures 62 feet, 19 metres in diameter, and the tower on the corner of Exchange Street is 180 feet, 55 metres high. Frederick Engels, who lived in Manchester for a time in the 1840s, noted how Manchester's satellite towns were dependent on the Royal Exchange selling their wares to the world. At its peak in the late 1920s, the Royal Exchange had 11,000 members from every corner of the globe. To this day, the area selling textiles in some Australian department stores is referred to as the Manchester Department. The exchange suffered bomb damage during World War II and finally closed its doors as a cotton and business exchange on the 31st of December 1968. Such a magnificent building in this prime location was not to lie idle for long, and architects Levitt Bernstein designed a space module to house the Royal Exchange Theatre within the existing structure. The impressive auditorium is a theatre in the round, supported by a glass and steel framework. The theatre was officially opened in September 1976 and seats over 700 people. The Royal Exchange suffered huge damage on Saturday the 15th of June 1996 when a 3,300-pound bomb planted by the IRA 50 metres from the building exploded at 11:20 a.m. on Corporation Street. Police had begun to clear the area of shoppers after a local television station received a phone message containing a recognised IRA code word. Mercifully, nobody was killed by the blast, thanks to the prompt work of the emergency services, though more than 200 people were injured, chiefly by flying glass. The National Lottery provided a £32 million grant to repair and improve the premises, with an extra performance area, the studio, plus a restaurant, craft shop and bookshop added. The theatre reopened on the 30th of November 1998. The founder of the cooperative movement, Robert Owen, is commemorated by a plaque in the Exchange Arcade.
¿Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas?
The Royal Exchange. Manchester's first cotton trading exchange opened in the old marketplace in 1729 and moved here in 1809. This building was completed in 1921. Its prominent dome measures 62 feet, 19 meters in diameter, and the tower on the corner of Exchange Street is 180 feet, 55 meters high. Frederick Engels, who lived in Manchester for a time in the 1840s, noted how Manchester's satellite towns were dependent on the Royal Exchange selling their wares to the world. At its peak in the late 1920s, the Royal Exchange had 11,000 members from every corner of the globe. To this day, the area selling textiles in some Australian department stores is referred to as the Manchester Department. The exchange suffered bomb damage during World War II and finally closed its doors as a cotton and business exchange on the 31st of December 1968. Such a magnificent building in this prime location was not to lie idle for long, and architects Levitt Bernstein designed a space module to house the Royal Exchange Theatre within the existing structure. The impressive auditorium is a theatre in the round, supported by a glass and steel framework. The theatre was officially opened in September 1976 and seats over 700 people. The Royal Exchange suffered huge damage on Saturday the 15th of June 1996 when a 3,300-pound bomb planted by the IRA 50 metres from the building exploded at 11:20 a.m. on Corporation Street. Police had begun to clear the area of shoppers after a local television station received a phone message containing a recognised IRA code word. Mercifully, nobody was killed by the blast, thanks to the prompt work of the emergency services, though more than 200 people were injured, chiefly by flying glass. The National Lottery provided a £32 million grant to repair and improve the premises, with an extra performance area, the studio, plus a restaurant, craft shop and bookshop added. The theatre reopened on the 30th of November 1998. The founder of the cooperative movement, Robert Owen, is commemorated by a plaque in the Exchange Arcade.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
The Royal Exchange. Manchester's first cotton trading exchange opened in the old marketplace in 1729 and moved here in 1809. This building was completed in 1921. Its prominent dome measures 62 feet, 19 meters in diameter, and the tower on the corner of Exchange Street is 180 feet, 55 meters high. Frederick Engels, who lived in Manchester for a time in the 1840s, noted how Manchester's satellite towns were dependent on the Royal Exchange selling their wares to the world. At its peak in the late 1920s, the Royal Exchange had 11,000 members from every corner of the globe. To this day, the area selling textiles in some Australian department stores is referred to as the Manchester Department. The Exchange suffered bomb damage during World War II and finally closed its doors as a cotton and business exchange on the 31st of December 1968. Such a magnificent building in this prime location was not to lie idle for long, and architects Levitt Bernstein designed a space module to house the Royal Exchange Theatre within the existing structure. The impressive auditorium is a theatre in the round, supported by a glass and steel framework. The theatre was officially opened in September 1976 and seats over 700 people. The Royal Exchange suffered huge damage on Saturday the 15th of June 1996 when a 3,300-pound bomb planted by the IRA 50 metres from the building exploded at 11:20 a.m. on Corporation Street. Police had begun to clear the area of shoppers after a local television station received a phone message containing a recognised IRA code word. Mercifully, nobody was killed by the blast, thanks to the prompt work of the emergency services, though more than 200 people were injured, chiefly by flying glass. The National Lottery provided a £32 million grant to repair and improve the premises, with an extra performance area, the studio, plus a restaurant, craft shop and bookshop added. The theatre reopened on the 30th of November 1998. The founder of the cooperative movement, Robert Owen, is commemorated by a plaque in the Exchange Arcade.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 1. Tarea 2. Escuche la grabación. Indique sus respuestas en la casilla correspondiente. El texto se escuchará 3 veces. Ahora dispone usted de 2 minutos para leer las preguntas.
Extract 1.
Edinburgh was born on this bluff, a big rock where the castle now stands. Since before history, people have lived on this natural defense. Today, it's well worth visiting the castle to tour the old buildings and enjoy stunning views. The highlight is the crown jewels of Scotland, including the ceremonial Stone of Scone, upon which monarchs have been crowned for over 1,000 years.
Extract 2.
Tolbooth Church. This impressive neo-Gothic structure from 1844 has the tallest spire in the city. These days, it's home to the Hub, Edinburgh Festival's ticket and information center. The world-famous Edinburgh International Festival in August, as well as other festivals held in that very busy month, fills the city with cultural action. The festivals feature classical music, theater, fringe theater, especially comedy, art, and books. You can pop inside the church where there's festival information and a public toilet.
Extract 3.
Stand in front of Gladstone's Land and look up. That's a 17th century skyscraper. It had the typical layout, a shop on the ground floor with columns and an arcade, and residences above. Back then, windows were expensive and didn't open. That's why the lower halves were wood, cheaper and able to swing out like shutters for ventilation and conveniently tossing out garbage. You can pay admission to go inside Gladstone's Land. If you do, you'll climb up tight spiral staircases to see the tenement's small rooms. A kitchen, bedroom, parlor, and so on. They're filled with period furnishings, most of it reconstructed.
Extract 4.
Finally, after so much history, we reach the 21st century. And finally, after 3 centuries of London rule, Scotland has a parliament building in Scotland. The building mixes wild angles, lots of light, bold windows, oak, and native stone into a startling complex. Notice how the eco-friendly structure by the Catalan architect Enrique Miralles fits so comfortably into its natural surrounding. Since the building celebrates Scottish democracy, the architecture is not a statement of authority. There are no statues of old heroes. There's not even a grand entry. You feel like you're entering an office park. You're welcome to go inside and wander around on your own. It's free.
Ahora dispone usted de 1 minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
Edinburgh was born on this bluff, a big rock where the castle now stands. Since before history, people have lived on this natural defense. Today, it's well worth visiting the castle to tour the old buildings and enjoy stunning views. The highlight is the crown jewels of Scotland, including the ceremonial Stone of Scone, upon which monarchs have been crowned for over 1,000 years.
Extract 2.
Tolbooth Church. This impressive neo-Gothic structure from 1844 has the tallest spire in the city. These days, it's home to the Hub, Edinburgh Festival's ticket and information center. The world-famous Edinburgh International Festival in August, as well as other festivals held in that very busy month, fills the city with cultural action. The festivals feature classical music, theater, fringe theater, especially comedy, art, and books. You can pop inside the church where there's festival information and a public toilet.
Extract 3.
Stand in front of Gladstone's Land and look up. That's a 17th century skyscraper. It had the typical layout, a shop on the ground floor with columns and an arcade, and residences above. Back then, windows were expensive and didn't open. That's why the lower halves were wood, cheaper and able to swing out like shutters for ventilation and conveniently tossing out garbage. You can pay admission to go inside Gladstone's land. If you do, you'll climb up tight spiral staircases to see the tenement's small rooms. A kitchen, bedroom, parlor, and so on. They're filled with period furnishings, most of it reconstructed.
Extract 4.
Finally, after so much history, we reach the 21st century. And finally, after 3 centuries of London rule, Scotland has a parliament building in Scotland. The building mixes wild angles, lots of light, bold windows, oak, and native stone into a startling complex. Notice how the eco-friendly structure by the Catalan architect Enrique Miralles fits so comfortably into its natural surrounding. Since the building celebrates Scottish democracy, the architecture is not a statement of authority. There are no statues of old heroes. There's not even a grand entry. You feel like you're entering an office park. You're welcome to go inside and wander around on your own. It's free.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas.
Extract 1.
Edinburgh was born on this bluff, a big rock where the castle now stands. Since before history, people have lived on this natural defense. Today, it's well worth visiting the castle to tour the old buildings and enjoy stunning views. The highlight is the crown jewels of Scotland, including the ceremonial Stone of Scone, upon which monarchs have been crowned for over 1,000 years.
Extract 2.
Tolbooth Church. This impressive neo-Gothic structure from 1844 has the tallest spire in the city. These days, it's home to the Hub, Edinburgh Festival's ticket and information center. The world-famous Edinburgh International Festival in August, as well as other festivals held in that very busy month, fills the city with cultural action. The festivals feature classical music, theater, fringe theater, especially comedy, art, and books. You can pop inside the church where there's festival information and a public toilet.
Extract 3.
Stand in front of Gladstone's land and look up. That's a 17th century skyscraper. It had the typical layout, a shop on the ground floor with columns and an arcade, and residences above. Back then, windows were expensive and didn't open. That's why the lower halves were wood, cheaper and able to swing out like shutters for ventilation and conveniently tossing out garbage. You can pay admission to go inside Gladstone's land. If you do, you'll climb up tight spiral staircases to see the tenement's small rooms. A kitchen, bedroom, parlor, and so on. They're filled with period furnishings, most of it reconstructed.
Extract 4.
Finally, after so much history, we reach the 21st century. And finally, after 3 centuries of London rule, Scotland has a parliament building in Scotland. The building mixes wild angles, lots of light, bold windows, oak, and native stone into a startling complex. Notice how the eco-friendly structure by the Catalan architect Enrique Miralles fits so comfortably into its natural surrounding. Since the building celebrates Scottish democracy, the architecture is not a statement of authority. There are no statues of old heroes. There's not even a grand entry. You feel like you're entering an office park. You're welcome to go inside and wander around on your own. It's free.
Ahora dispone usted de un minuto para comprobar sus respuestas. Este es el final de la tarea 2.